Saturday, the 2nd of June. I went to Ilford with Mum, Dad and Uncle Sid, who is still staying with us. Bay to go to Valentine Park to see the rhododendrons, and I to the Rolling Stock exhibition at Ilford Goods Station. It was a very good show. They had the latest types of passenger coaches, including a rail motor, a Pullman, a third-class tourist coach, the Flying Scotsman dining and sleeping cars, and others. Among the locomotives were the LNER's latest, the Cock of the North, which has £1,000 greater tractive effort than the GWR King class. Also the Flying Scotsman, Claude Hamilton, and some others. The Cock of the North was only there for today. The exhibition is open tomorrow too. And judging by the dust that had accumulated everywhere, I should say he'll want some cleaning up tonight before he departs. Among the other interesting exhibits were a couple of long bogey wagons, a refrigerator and meat van and milk tank, a transformer trolley truck and a girder truck, which two last, I should say, took some getting round the narrow curves of the Great Eastern. I was very interested in the signalling demonstration van and asked a lot of questions about interlocking, so much so, indeed, that one of the chaps asked me if I was really interested in interlocking apparatus, and when I replied yes, took my name and address and said he would look up some books on the subject and let me have them, for which I was truly thankful. He also threw out a hint about an introduction, if possible, to a man at Ilford who was an authority on mechanical signalling and who might be able to take me over the east and west signal boxes at Liverpool Street Station. Sunday, the 3rd of June. I got off by 8:30 this morning, but had to wait some time for Brett, who had had an accident by tipping a saucepan full of hot milk over his brother while the latter was in the bath. We got started by 9 o'clock, and for a change, went the usual route to Waits Lane and by the side of the Great Eastern Railway to Odessa Road, down which we turned, proceeding along that and Leytonstone High Road to Snaresbrook. We kept the main road almost as far as Epping, but turned off to Royden. We here crossed the River Stort and turned east and again north, and between Hunslet and Whitford, such a bang came from Brett's rear tyre, and it immediately went flat. To get to a shady and quiet spot, we turned down a farm road just short of Whitford and sat down by the side of a wood and had our lunch. The burst, for that was what it was about the size of a pen. We stuck a puncture patch on the inside, as well as the outside. Old Brett's tyres are certainly in a bad state. The rear cover particularly has cracked in several places, and there are many holes which pierce the cover all round. The front tyre is not much better. In these circumstances, therefore, we decided to curtail the day's projected wanderings. We were going to try to get to Royston, and take it easy. The weather today was very pleasant, and had it not been for a strong northeast wind, would have been very hot. I much appreciated the lesser weight of the new bike today, as even against the wind, I was able to surmount hills easily, in some cases without changing down, that before I have always had to walk up. Coming home, the effect of the wind was such that we might have come home from Epping in 30 minutes, had we so wished. Wednesday the 6th of June. Derby day, and consequently, rain at last. I caught a packet coming back from the fish shop and got pretty well soaked. It rained heavily, but was mostly showery and dried up almost as quickly as it fell. If we could have a couple of weeks of good liquid rain, conditions might resume their normal position. This drought has been on nearly a year now. You remember I had one or two sharp showers on my holiday last year? Well, that was the last time we had any real spurts of rain, apart from a few showers about April. Mum and I had a shilling each way on a horse that failed to secure even a place. Friday the 8th of June. I had a nasty surprise tonight after tea, when Mum handed me the official summons to appear at Romford County Court at 10 a.m. on Thursday the 21st of June next. I think if I can, I'll write to the magistrate to see if I cannot pay the fine without attending court, but I don't know exactly what to write or how to put it. Saturday the 9th of June. I asked a friend about writing to the magistrate at Romford, and he suggests that as they will probably charge me twice as much if I do not attend court, I should go there as indicated in the summons. All the same, I don't quite cotton on to the idea of being in the prisoner's dock. I'll wait and see Brett before I decide, I think. Monday the 11th of June. My 23rd birthday. I received a handsome present of 15 shillings from Mum and Dad, and a postal order for 5 shillings from Aunt Nora. Belle helped me with my fine on Thursday week. A very hot day again. Most oppressive in the train tonight. All vehicles controlled by the London Transport Board are exhibiting notices urging the public to use less water, so the drought is more serious than ever. Tuesday the 12th of June. Helped Mum tonight to choose places to go to for her and Dad's holidays. They are not fixed up yet, and we leave on Saturday week. For myself, I have planned a general outline, namely to go as far north as Newcastle, then along the Roman Wall to Carlisle, and then come home through the Lake District, and, if I have time, through North and South Wales. I shall, as before, try to visit Mum and Dad during the second week. And while I've time to spare, I may as well give a description of my new bike. It is, as is known, by Bates Brothers, and bears a transfer and one or two plates to that effect. It has a 24-inch frame, finished medium blue with chromium-plated crown and fork ends, and is built of chrome molybdenum steel tubes that are very light and strong. Dropout, self-centering front forks, Bluemel's no-weight white celluloid mudguards with spearpoint extension in front, brazed-on front lamp bracket, the rear bracket being bolted to a brazed-on reflector eye. The eyes for the attachment of the mudguards are also brazed to the forks. Handlebar, North Road swallow drop, fitted with constrictor grips and finished in white celluloid. Saddle, Lyset aero dual, spring seat with elastic springs. Narrower than the old Terry, but exceedingly comfortable nevertheless. Brampton pedals, Reynolds chain and Williams cranks and chain wheel. Dunlop wheels with Sprite open-sided tyres, 26 by 1¼ inches. Wheels fitted with double-butted spokes, the front with a Sturmey Archer hub brake and locked cones, and the back with a Sturmey Archer 3-speed gear, KB type, and hub brake. Both wheels have light aluminium butterfly nuts. The finish of the wheels, spokes, chain wheel, crank and pedals and handlebar stem is black enamel. As equipment, there is a celluloid coated inflator which is attached to the frame by brazed on clips. Tuesday the 14th of June. To save further happenings like that on Whip Monday, I bought a Pifco electric headlamp for the bike. A mere bobby dodger. Friday the 15th of June. As I was stumped for a camera, now I've got the new bike, S has kindly consented to lend me his. With the old bike, I carried the camera in its case, slung on the roller brake lever. But with the new cycle, there is not enough room. Even if there was, the thing bumps about too much. S's camera is a Kodak folding type and seems a serviceable little machine. It will easily slip into my pocket. This weekend, I propose to give it a try out. Thursday, the 21st of June. Brett called round for me this morning, soon after 8:30. We got to Romford at 9:30 and mucked about till the court opened. They kept us waiting all the morning till 1 o'clock, when the magistrates withdrew for dinner, and, as it was early closing day, we had to be content with chocolate for our lunch. Court resumed at 2 o'clock, and we were called separately at about 3:30. The least said the better upon the subject, except that Brett was fined 10 shillings and I 15 shillings. We left Romford about 4 o'clock and arrived home, Brett having a puncture on the way which delayed us 15 minutes, at 5:10. Friday the 22nd of June. Spent the evening in packing and making ready for my departure tomorrow. Put in approximately the same as last year, but leaving out the spare vest, whose place was taken by my pullover in view of the cooler weather lately. Of course, this diary is to go. It gets in some miles in a year. also oiled up the bike and gave the brakes a final adjustment. Saturday, the 23rd of June. Start of the tour. I went by bike to work so that my holiday should start from the moment I left the office. I don't know whether the new bike is more resilient than the old, but the commercial road didn't seem as bumpy as usual. I went via Cheapside and Oxford Street, turned off at Oxford Circus and up Portland Place. I got off from work about 20 minutes to one and took the main road through, I don't know the name of the places, but it's the road I generally come back on from Watford or thereabouts. I found myself eventually on the Great North Road a little north of Hatfield. I intended to get as far as Welling before I turned off the main road. It was beginning to pall, but the wind was blowing strongly from the northeast, and I didn't see why, having a fortnight before me, I should face the wind to start off with. So I turned off near Welling Garden City and took the same road as I did first day out last summer holiday via Wheathamstead to Luton, but kept right on to Dunstable. Here I turned along Watling Street and, except for the Colchester Road, I believe it's the longest distances I've ever kept to a main road at one time. It was being repaired and widened for a distance of about 10 miles. I passed through Fenny Stratford and Stony Stratford and have put up for the night at Toaster. The place I put up at was a commercial hotel and I was rather disappointed in it. The food was good, to be sure, but the towels were dirty and the bed as hard as a board. Still, I slept well, except that at about 1:30 the following morning, I was awakened by a deluge of rain. It did pour down. Sunday the 24th of June. My mileage yesterday was 73. I set off this morning soon after 10 o'clock and took the main road to Northampton, which possesses trams, and turned north along the Leicester Road. I turned off the first class road at Kingsthorpe and climbed through Brampton and past Spratton to Thornby, after which there was a steep descent to Welford, where I crossed the Welland River. Then there was a stiff climb and another descent through Shearsby and Arnsby and Wigston Magna, so that I reached Leicester at about 1 o'clock. I bought a pound of apples and 1/2 pound of biscuits in Leicester, and shortly after leaving the town, I went down a country lane and had these for dinner. Afterwards, I kept on through Thurcaston, Swithland and Woodhouse and joined the main Loughborough Road at Quorn. I had seen a sign directing me to Derby, the other side of Leicester, so I thought I'd push on in that direction and, if I could, put up for the night at Belper, at the same place I stayed last year. I therefore kept the main road from Loughborough to Derby, which latter place I reached at 5 o'clock. From Derby, I took the main Buxton Road to Belper, but was unlucky in that the place where I had intended putting up for the night was closed, so I had to push on to Matlock, where I succeeded in getting very comfortable lodgings. It has been a very miserable day as far as the weather is concerned. It commenced to drizzle soon after I left Toaster, and, though it eased up after a time, it continued as a heavy mist till I reached Belper, when it began to rain cats and dogs, only finally leaving off after I reached Matlock. From Derby to Matlock, the road was crowded with cyclists, and even in Matlock itself, the place was thronged with them. Monday the 25th of June. I left about 10 o'clock this morning, keeping to the main Buxton Road as far as Rowsley, where I kept straight on to Baslow. Here I missed my route, but corrected it at Stony Middleton and Eme, regaining the Hathersage Road and Grindleford. The scenery round these parts is unspeakably beautiful. I continued through Hathersage and Bamford to Ashopton, where I stopped for lunch, about 1:30, at the place where I put up last year. After this, I continued along the Sheffield Road for about 2 miles and turned left past the Steins Inn, and between here and Penistone went across the loveliest country I've ever struck, barring Dartmoor. It was all continuous climbing and dropping. The hills were so steep and the bends so sharp that I thought at one time my brakes would burn out. I nearly burnt my fingers when I felt the drums. I don't suppose, for the distance between Ashopton and Penistone, that apart from one village near the latter, I met more than 6 persons, certainly none walking. From Penistone, I took the main Huddersfield Road to Denby Dale, where I turned right for Wakefield. I passed through that town as quickly as I could and tried to fix up for the night at the village of Methley, but couldn't find the place given in the CTC handbook. So I had to push on to Aberford, where I was lucky enough to be able to fix up in some comfortable digs. The weather has been a little milder today, though I kept my jumper on throughout. It was very misty coming across the moors from Ashipton, and what with that and the eerie silence and loneliness, I was, well, frightened almost at times. Tuesday the 22nd of June. After a good night's rest, I left soon after 10 o'clock this morning and made straight for York, stopping only to enter the above details until my pen ran out of ink at the third line down this page. Of course, I visited the Minster, and am sorry to say I was somewhat disappointed. It did not seem nearly so vast as I had imagined. Perhaps it is a matter of proportion, since the principal arches in the nave are over 100 feet from crown to floor, and they certainly did not seem that. I left York just before 3 o'clock, and took the road to Scarborough as far as Malton. For the first part, it was flat, and I made a good 15 mph. But after that, it began to get hilly, and after turning off at Malton, I arrived at Pickering soon after 6. From the last place, I pushed northeast over moors, and with a strong wind behind me, made good progress, reaching Whitby soon after 8 o'clock, where I put up at the Jolly Sailors, facing the harbour. It was most interesting coming across these moors. I didn't meet anybody till nearly halfway across, when I met a man driving a large pink sow, and soon afterwards, another man with 2 dogs rounding up sheep for the night. Just as the moors end, there is a drop of about 700 feet within half a mile, easily the steepest gradient I've ever been on. My brakes stood up to it very well, as did the tyres too, considering the rough nature of the road. Wednesday, the 27th of June. I had the wind dead against me nearly all day. I took the road out of Whitby through Sands End and up across the moor to Guisborough, a distance of only 22 miles, but it took me fully 4 hours to accomplish it. I think I walked half the way. From Guisborough, I decided to cross the Tees at Stockton, and, if I could stand the wind, get west through Durham, County, or, if not, to work north to Newcastle. I got across at Stockton, and, thanks to a tree-lined road, was able to make Darlington in good time. This bucked me up quite a lot, so I continued across the Great North Road. I had last crossed it at Aberford, and took the main road to Barnard Castle, which I reached at about 7:30 tonight. The surface of the road, I am sorry to say, has not improved since I left Darlington. It appears to be tarred macadam, but with a scarcity of tar. There are several holes and ridges on the road which are not conducive to comfortable riding. Stockton and Darlington have between them caused me to change my ideas somewhat about these northern industrial towns. I had always imagined that these northern counties were covered with tram lines, instead of which I met with exactly 20 yards of tram line in Stockton, and none at all at Darlington. In fact, Darlington, especially its western end, is a very nice place. Thursday the 28th of June. Oh, what a day for biking! Rain, rain, and still more rain. In fact, capital rain! It knows how to rain up here all right. I left Barnard Castle soon after 10 o'clock this morning and took the main road up to Middleton and Teesdale. I kept on past High Force and about 4 miles further on turned right along a gated road to St John's Chapel. This road is easily the most lonely I've been along so far. It rose, according to the map, to over 2,000 feet, though I stopped and chatted with a party of men about halfway along who were engaged in cutting back the grass verge, and they said it only went up 1,800 feet. From St John's Chapel, I went up Weardale to Weirhead, where I turned right up and over another high pass to Allenhead. Incidentally, as I went up, I saw the main road working its way up Kilhope Pass, which is the highest in England. From Allenhead was a magnificently engineered road at the side of the dale, with a drop of some varying 600 to 500 feet to the River Allen. It was like a terrace between the mountains and the river. With the wind behind me, I made exceptionally good speed down to the town of Allendale and so on to Hexham. I did not fancy the last town very much, so I pushed back to Haydon Bridge. As it had been raining since 11 o'clock this morning, you may well imagine that despite my rainproofs, I was pretty well soaked by the time I reached here at 7:30. I took off my wet things and changed into dry stockings and the eldest son of the people I'm lodging with was good enough to lend me a pair of shoes for tonight. This, coupled with a good fire, soon put me right. I'd only had some chocolate since breakfast this morning, so you may be sure I did ample justice to my tea. Friday the 29th of June. I properly overslept myself this morning. I didn't wake up till nearly 9 and didn't leave Haydon Bridge till nearly 11. I took the road to Four Stones and worked my way through to the Newcastle Carlisle Road that runs close to the Roman Wall. Here I was subject to another disappointment, for the wall was more of an earthwork than the stone edifice I had imagined. It may, of course, be better preserved towards Newcastle, or where it is a little way from the road. However, I wasn't going towards Newcastle again, so I climbed over the hills westward towards Carlisle. Again, I had the wind ahead of me and had a very tough time before I got to Greenhead. After this, the going was not so bad, and soon after leaving Brampton, I turned south, hoping to get on the Penrith Road without touching Carlisle. After due consideration, I have come to the conclusion that I shall have to miss out the Lake District if I am to call in at Somerton, where Mum and Dad are, on the way home. Besides, it avoids a nasty lot of cutting about getting out of Cumberland. In making this deviation, I came through Armathwaite, which I consider for prettiness in such a small place beats everything I've come across so far. It's on the River Eden, and I think the river is most appropriately named. I reached the main Penrith Road at last. It's a proper arterial road of the new sort, or appears to be, and have put up at Penrith for the night. And while I think of it, I will try to recapitulate the scenes I have taken photographs of. I didn't buy any films till I reached Baslow, and as far as I remember, the following is the sequence of photographs from then on. Stony Middleton, overexposed, I fear. View along the Sheffield-Manchester Road near Ashopton. One or two across the moors thereabouts. One of the interior of York Minster. Two of the North Yorkshire moors. Two of Whitby, the last one spoilt, I think because of the film getting out of order, so that I had to take it out to wind it up fully. Two views of an interior of a shelter on the road to St John's Chapel, and an outside view therefrom. It was a real scorcher today, so that my thirst went up a good deal. Saturday the 30th of June. I was not much impressed with Penrith. For one thing, it is a town, and for another, the Anglo-American Wall of Death, one of those sideshows you get at a fair, had set itself up before the house where I lodged, and chose last night for rehearsals before settling down for the weekend. However, they packed up shortly after 9 o'clock, so I got to sleep pretty easily. I set off this morning shortly after 9:30, but as the sun came out and I started climbing, I was glad to remove my zipper. I climbed nearly the whole way up to Shap Summit, and then had a beautiful coast down to Kendal. From here, I took the Skipton Road, and after a brief climb of a few hundred feet, I again coasted down to Kirkby Lonsdale, reaching that place at 2 o'clock. I stopped and had lunch here. Then, crossing the River Lune, I rose and fell to Settle, after which I had a magnificent run down Airedale to Skipton. As it was yet only 6 o'clock, I decided to push on to Keighley, but did not fancy the place at all, so I pushed on to Haworth, which isn't much better, but fixed up here for the night. It was 8 o'clock when I arrived here, and I know I've done over 80 miles today. But the streets hereabouts are not conducive to pleasure, being surfaced with great sets that would make the commercial road seem like a carpet in comparison. And the roads take up an incline of about 1 in 6. The surface of the road over Shap Summit was also in poor condition, being formed after the style of those around Barnard Castle. I've got more sunburn today than during the rest of my holiday. Tonight, I drank about 1.5 pints of milk, and where I stopped for lunch, I drank 1/4 water.